As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless. Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life, and you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula. Toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010 or online, thepowerherbs.com. Millions of Americans are using prescribed medicines daily and putting up with the risk of side effects. If you feel trapped on lifelong drugs and want off of them, there is a way. Pharmaceutical products create a weakness and dependency. Eventually, weakness leads to failure. The solution is sources that are strengtheners, which lead to restoration. Contact Apothecary Herbs for their free product catalog and discover what professional strength herbal formulas can do for your heart, kidneys, pancreas, digestion, prostate, brain, and more. Call now 866-229-3663 or visit online thepowerherbs.com. Call now to order and empower yourself. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
1, 2, 3.
To Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk. Magical engineer Frank and I have a great show. And thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. We're going to be talking about the health advantages versus disadvantages. And we're going to be highlighting and featuring a review of, it was an ethics review by Harvard. So very interesting stuff. Also, we got some ancient secrets we're going to share with you, and we'll see how much time we have after that, plus our quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform. I'm lifting them all up in prayer, as well as America. We need God's help. We surely do. We are nothing without the Lord. Well, I did bring the devotional, and today's devotional is from Micah 7, Revelations 1, and Numbers 6, and it goes like this. Wait patiently with me while I bless you. Don't rush into my presence with time consciousness gnawing at your mind. I dwell in timelessness. I am, I was, and I will always be. And for you, time is a protection. You're a frail creature who can handle only 24-hour lifetime segments. Time can also be a tyrant, ticking away relentlessly at your mind. Learn to master time, or it will master you. Through you, our time-bound creature, seek to meet me in timelessness. And as you focus on my presence, the demands of time and tasks will diminish. And I'll bless you and keep you, making my face shine upon you, graciously giving you peace. Amen to that. I hope your mind and time and seeking the Lord's face, because that is the way. Without further ado, let's do the quack report. Alrighty, first up in the quacker, extra virgin olive oil, say could help you prevent Alzheimer's. This is Temple University's research. They show that the olive oil protects against memory loss and preserves the ability of the brain to learn and to reduces the conditions that are associated with Alzheimer's disease. And this research was conducted at the College of Lewis Katz School of Medicine. And they think it's the olive oil's reduces brain inflammation, also activates an auto process where intracellular debris and toxins are removed, and those types of debris actually are the markers for Alzheimer's. So they think olive oil is the way to go. Also, anybody out there a coffee drinker? Well, according to some new research that was in the Journal of Appetite, they found there was this correlation between people who drink their coffee black and having antisocial behavioral tendencies. The research was surveyed over 1,000 adults, asking them to give their food flavor preferences, as well as taking a series of personality tests on antisocial personality traits like sadism, narcissism, and psychopathy. So the study at the University of Innsbruck said that bitter flavors were linked to psychopathic behaviors. So, and it's just not black coffee that sends off alarms. They say those people with those antisocial behaviors also have a fondness for radishes, celery, and tonic water. So previous studies also show that sweet taste preferences are more with agreeableness and eagerness to help someone, while bitter seems to be linked to hostility and a harsher moral judgment. Mm. Last but not least in the quack report, pass the valerian root because U.S. anxiety levels are climbing faster than the rest of the world. Yep. This is United States is held eighth compared to 13 other countries in anxiety. Now, this was an analysis by UNISYS Security Index. So anxiety levels of Americans over matters of war, terrorism, hacking, identity theft have all gone up. Concerns about war and terrorism have topped the list and gnawing at Americans, according to their research. Levels of U.S. anxiety jumped sharply since the last survey was conducted in 2014, and it was the highest level recorded since surveys were undertaken 10 years ago. So valerian root going to help you out for real, and you don't have to take antidepressants. So check that out at thepowerherbs.com. And pray. Prayer is also going to help you. And that wraps the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, we're going to be talking about health advantages versus disadvantages, because more patients today have a new motto towards medical treatments, which is, when in doubt, vet it out. Yeah, vetting is an indicator of the times we live in when patients have to perform background checks on recommended medical treatments. So the internet has offered patients a great advantage to digging up the fine details on medications, medical devices, and surgeries. Now, some patients are stunned discovering the dangers some treatments present and are shocked when their doctor tells them there's no other treatment. Now, I often hear from people on how astonished they are about some of these TV commercials for prescription drugs and the devastating side effects and even the terminal risk the drugs can offer. And it amazes me people would, you know, risk taking drugs and vaccines that offer harm. But we're going to take a look at some relevant data and help us protect our health. So we're looking into ethics and the fact that people are, you know, waking up that scientific medicine has put itself above ethics. So those responsible for the checks and balances for safety have turned a blind eye for a number of reasons, which all point to financial gain of some kind. Now, and also the whistleblowers, yeah, the professionals that, you know, sound the alarm, though they are professionally destroyed for sounding the alarm. So fear is used within the halls of medicine to keep people in line and to keep their mouths shut. And this applies to veterinarians as well. So Harvard University has this ethics department, and they released an interesting report in 2014 warning people of the risks they take when using prescription medicines. So we're going to take a look at their report. So this is the Harvard Ethics Review, and they released it in June 2014, and it was done at the Edmund Safar Center of Ethics at Harvard University, and they released their findings on drugs that are entering the marketplace from 2002 to 2011. So their review addressed the risks that patients take when using prescribed medications. So here are some of the highlights from their report, because this was a lengthy report. And this is, here's some of the highlights. They say patients have a 1 in 5 chance their drug will cause serious reactions regardless of FDA approval. They say doctors should avoid prescribing new medicines entering the market for at least 5 years, you know, see how it pans out. Also, properly prescribed drugs cause 1.9 million hospitalizations each year. They said misprescribing and overdosing patients is very common within medicine. They said there are 2.74 million serious adverse drug reactions each year. There are 840,000 hospitalized patients given drugs causing serious adverse reactions each year. And out of that, 128,000 die from the drugs that are prescribed to them. Now, European Commission reports an estimated 200,000 deaths from prescription drugs annually. And the FDA does not acknowledge the severity of death by prescription medicines. They go on to say that the medical and pharmaceutical establishments state that 170 million Americans benefit from their medications, and some are life-saving. However, 80% of these drugs are generic and have been on the market with known antidotes for side effects. Since 2000, $70 billion has been spent developing new variations of old drugs rather than innovative drugs. They also say that overseas clinical reviews of new drugs showed only an 8% advantage over older drugs. And out of the 946 new drugs, only 2 were breakthroughs and 13 offered therapeutic benefits. So research is showing that if patients do not respond to drug therapy after 3 different variations of drugs are given, there is little evidence to support prescribing additional drugs to offer any benefit. Now, there are 30 adverse reactions for every patient that is hospitalized. That's 81 million adverse reactions for 170 million Americans that are taking drugs, they say. And lastly, on their highlight page, it says fast-track drugs reduced from a 10-month to a 6-month, test phase for drug companies resulted in an 18% increase in serious adverse reactions, an 11% increase in hospitalizations, and a 7.2% increase in death. So statistically, fast-track drugs increase serious risk of harm from 1 in 5 to 1 in 3. Well, let's look at the new drugs that enter the market. Now, the Harvard Ethic Review concluded that prescription drugs, especially the new drugs entering the market, are a major health risk to patients and offer few, if any, benefits. So Dr. Donald Light of Stanford University in Chicago helped lead the research and has done previous research in the development of prescription drugs, their consequences, and also institutional corruption. He reports that their team found very little research done on prescription drugs as a health risk compared to research that is funded on non-life-threatening diseases. They also went back 35 years, and of the research they did find, it showed that a mere 11% to 15% benefit was on the new medicines. So it kind of left an 85% to 89% gap of little to no clinical advantage on the new FDA-approved drugs. So they also discovered that there is little testing of subgroup medications, and science is making assumptions that patients will benefit from variations in drugs. So this approach is similar to, you know, throwing off stuff on the wall, see what sticks. That's kind of the attitude. All right, so here is a quote from Savilo Garianti, Harvard Ethical Review. He says, most major scientific discoveries do not significantly improve patients' health, and some prove to be deadly, end quote. And Christian Bernard, you may remember that name, the famous cardiac surgeon, he performed the first heart transplant surgery in 1967. He said, I don't believe medical discoveries are doing much to advance human life. As fast as we find ways to extend it, we are inventing ways to shorten it. End of quote. So there you go from, you know, a surgeon inside medicine. Well, let's look at some of this hidden business model that the review discovered and wanted people to know about. So what the Harvard Ethical Review revealed is that the pharmaceutical industry has a business model of flooding the market with not one or two drugs of a certain condition, but to make six or more variations of that drug to flood the market. So drug reps say doctors like choices in drug therapy, but economic experts say this is a way to exploit patients with medications not significant in the advancement of patient health. So drug companies are making 2.5 to 3.2 times greater return than a Fortune 500 company would. So despite the lack of significant benefit, drug sales have increased. Their report says that the drug sales increased 10% in the 1970s. They increased 12.5% in the 1990s, 16% by the year 2000, and 19% by the year 2010. Here's a quote from Jerry Averon. He's an expert in pharmacology. He says, laws designed to encourage and protect meaningful innovation have been turned into systems that reward trivial pseudo-innovation, which has become more profitable than important discoveries, end of quote. Well, let's look at the high-risk research, because the new review has also pointed out that drug companies spread the risk management of their drugs out over several different kinds of drugs, and this way it reduces their cost in making drugs. So after minimal clinical trials are done with little to zero follow-up, then the real risk management is really with the public. So the public is taking on all the liability when they use the drug. So people forget that scientific medicine is a for-profit industry, and they're not in the business for curing diseases. So drug companies don't make drugs based simply on benefit, but on profit margins. So most drugs offer minor adverse reactions, you know, like digestive upset, maybe joint aches and pains, or a little foggy headedness. However, those reactions impact everyday life and also can increase patient risks of car accidents and even falls. Well, here is also a quote from the Harvard Ethics Review. It says, we will never know how many beneficial medications never got approved because companies estimated they would not generate a big enough profit, end of quote. Also, Dr. Donald Blight of Stanford University in Chicago says, over the past 35 years, the hidden business model based on marketing power rather than innovations has created an epidemic of harmful drugs with side effects, end of quote. Well, and then they also mentioned the legal drug pipeline that most people don't read about in the news. As the Harvard Ethic Review pointed out, there are serious problems with the drug studies and getting drugs approved by the FDA. They reveal that there is a second drug pipeline, like the mob has a second set of books. So the supposedly random clinical double-blind trials are designed by the drug company's marketing departments to generate fake evidence that the drugs are even more effective and safer than they really are. So when drug companies hire companies to execute the drug trial, this is a commercial business doing the trial, and they prefer to keep their customers happy and coming back. Therefore, drug trials will generate positive results. So the review goes on to state that the FDA is well aware of this practice and the biased trials that they receive and approve drugs upon. Further evidence supports, according to the ethics review, that Congress is well aware that the FDA has become an extension of the pharmaceutical industry, and its primary role is to expand its drug market. So Congress knows the fraud perpetrated on the taxpayers by the publicly funded FDA, and that is what treason looks like. And some people still refuse to see this and feel there is really no way such a scam of this size could be pulled off. Well, money answers all things, and here's where the drug companies put their money. Journalists are influenced. Journal article writers are influenced by their statisticians, their scientific editors, and independent writers, all which are on the drug company payroll. Also, statisticians are instructed to swap or switch data that is submitted to the FDA, making doctors read twice biased medical journal articles, understating risks of harm while overstating drug benefits. They also put their money in. The negative results are less likely to get published, and positive results are published more than once to distort the clinical practices. Also, drug companies employ physicians and researchers with the purpose to influence or turn medical professionals onto their side to prescribe more new drugs. And also lobby. They put money into lobbyists in the legal area to create laws that will fast-track new drugs, meaning drugs are approved with less evidence-based testing on effectiveness and safety. Here's a quote from Mark Rodwin. He's a lab fellow at Edmund Safar Center for Ethics at Harvard and also a professor at Suffolk University of Law. He says, "Scholarly studies have revealed that drug firms design trials that purposely skew the result and distort evidence by selective reporting or biased interpretations." End of quote. Well, you know, you have to ask then, you know, how are doctors able to practice good medicine with all this going on? Well, the laws are specific that medical science should practice good medicine. However, the guidelines, the protocols, the ethics that ensure and establish good practice have all fallen away. Therefore, how can physicians practice good medicine today? What they think is good medicine is really biased, non-evidence-based research. Now, according to Dr. Donald Light, he says this, "Physicians are advising patients essentially on marketing tools for drug companies. They expose many patients to harm from unnecessary treatment or from treatment that is not evidence-based," end of quote. So, you know, this problem is compounded by the fact that decades of research were conducted on incorrect cell lines and disease and published more than once. Yeah, lots of flaws, a lot of monkey wrenches in this big scientific medicine, you know, establishment. Well, and, you know, then the FDA, its trustworthy monitoring comes into question because the Harvard Ethic Review also addressed the drug disaster monitoring that the FDA sets up after a drug kills a lot of people. So, for instance, the drug Vioxx, which killed 40,000 patients and caused 120,000 heart attacks, the FDA and Congress promised to execute safety and monitoring systems on drugs. So the Harvard Review said they found little evidence that this is being done and that serious risks of unethical drug practices are occurring unchecked. And it's clear that the FDA chooses not to execute its administrative powers over drug companies and help patients. So check out, if you get our newsletter, you'll see this graph that the Harvard Review put together on the new drugs from 2002 to 2011. The graph kind of gives you the snapshot of little to no improvement from all these drugs that have hit the market. So if you're on the list to subscribe for the newsletters, you would get that information in your email. So if you're not a subscriber, you should jump on the powerherbs.com website and click books and newsletters, and you can sign up for free. There is no subscription, and you'll get empowering information and knowledge like this each week. So, you know, basically, we have the writing on the wall. That's what we have. This one report, out of countless others, have exposed the truth about modern medicine and the drug industry. So there is really no advantage to using prescription drugs. There's only risk and harm, according to this review. So perhaps, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ can explain it another way. He said in John 15:22, he said, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had no sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin." Translation, if you had not been told and you had not been shown, you would have no guilt. But because you have been told and you have been shown, you have no excuse for your actions. Yeah, little education there. Because history does speak. History proves, you know, the roots of scientific modern medicine are embedded in ancient Babylon with its sorcery, its alchemy, and its witchcraft. Even the medical symbol, the caduceus symbol, staff and snake, that flaunts this right in your face. So for centuries, science has deflected this fact onto, you know, natural medicine and natural healing practices. You may ask, well, why'd they do that? Well, God encourages the use of medicinal herbs and good healthy practices, which keep people from needing a physician. So man is corruptible. And with the help from the devil, he is undermining what God deems to be good. So God has declared that all will be revealed. And you don't want to perish for lack of knowledge, right? No. So there is a definite fork in the road with regards to healthcare, you know, the scientific way or the whole food medicinal herbal way. And as Dr. Christian Bernard pointed out, science has made some important discoveries to assist life, but also to destroy it. So we have to be discerning and know in which we can trust in order to be well. And I hope God blesses you with that wisdom. As for me, I trust in the healing power of God's herbs because of his promises. Herbs are here for the service of man, Psalms 104:14, and herbs are for the healing of the nations, Revelations 22:2. And God can't lie. No. God's foods and medicinal herbs have power. We'll be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme, tincture, and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Henry Ford, the automobile. And herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Go green. Herb Talk Live, green. Now with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Of modern medicine. Anyway, God's foods and medicinal plants have this chemistry that's perfectly balanced, and it provides the body what it needs. So I tend to trust in that, and I hope you can too. So if you'd like to learn more about herbs and how powerful they are at restoring balance and helping the body to heal itself, then I'd give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call and get their free product catalog. Their number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Now, if you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277. That's 704-885-0277. They do have a website. You can check out thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. Now, that's where your healthcare options just became endless. Now, Apothecary Herbs, they use the certified organic herbs that are grown to the TILT standards, which is your highest standard in organic farming. And it protects they also protect the integrity of the herbs by eliminating heat sources in their process and naturally aging their herbal formulas. So this will produce that professional strength formula you've been looking for that's not available in stores. So don't delay. Get your free catalog and empower yourself. And if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. And don't forget, you can save with their online coupons, or you can register at checkout and receive reward points. So check that out when you can at thepowerherbs.com. All right, we're going to talk about some ancient secrets. You know, when you talk about ancient secrets, most people think you're talking maybe about the pyramids of Egypt or Stonehenge or something. Maybe they think you're talking about UFOs, the little gray guys. Anyway, archaeology, artifacts, hieroglyphics, all that great stuff. But these are all very interesting and mysterious. However, these are not the ancient secrets I'm looking for. Now, the average person thinks that the world, if you had a treasure, it represents a monetary gain of some kind. But the human mind will have lots of different visions of wealth, gold, silver, everything materialistic you can think of. However, if you ever notice that the most valuable treasures of the world are really hidden from people, and then they could be rediscovered later. Let's check this out. Ancient treasure maps of the world have created intrigue. Pirate maps, star constellation maps, landmarks. If you look at some of those ancient maps, they have animal symbols, sea monsters, and all this stuff. But ancient maps have been found, you know, to be on paper or on vessels, wood, copper plates. But I'm not looking for this kind of treasure. What I'm seeking is treasure that's going to have a very different meaning, a different impact, and will lead me to treasure nonetheless. I'm looking for medicinal secrets is what I'm looking for. Now, allopathic medicine has established its own type of treatments, scientific medicine. Many are kind of surprised to realize, you know, we mentioned earlier that modern medicine has its basis in pagan witchcraft dating back to the Babylonian Empire. Even today, the AMA physicians practice alchemy because they have, heavy metals in their vaccines. And if you want more detailed information on the research and the foundation of your modern healthcare, the scientific medicine, Dr. True Ott did the history of medicine. He put it on a CD. If you want to go check that out at meminerals.com. He's the mineral guy, but meminerals.com if you want to go see if you can get a copy of that. It's very interesting. So we're going to take a look at, for instance, just one thing like whooping cough. Many natural physicians claim that whooping cough is not life-threatening to healthy children. This is the pertussis vaccine, the DPT, has been kind of a controversial thing from time to time. It is made supposedly from purified acellular pertussis or whooping cough bacteria, which supposedly contains fewer toxins. However, some experts say it can cause neurological complications. Some of these complications from the pertussis vaccine have been convulsions, mental retardation, learning disabilities, physical handicaps, and even death. So if injury from vaccines were not a fact, well, then the federal government wouldn't have paid out lots of claims and damages through lawsuits. Now, a study of 215,000 Swedish kids who received the DPT shot showed a rate of 1 in 17,000 having permanent brain damage. What are the odds of that happening in nature, huh? However, many medical and government authorities use the 1981 British study that said it's 1 in 110,000 children will suffer neurological damage or 1 in 310,000. So whatever it is, when it's your child, the odds don't matter, right? Why take the risk? Now, U.S. physicians tend to misquote a lot of those figures. Most children receive more than one DPT shot. Also, the public's not aware that the British use of different whole-cell pertussis bacterium, which is scientifically less potent than what's in the U.S. pertussis vaccine. So they're supposedly getting a less potent version. So there is a successful way, a natural way, though, to deal with whooping cough that has been around for hundreds of years. So what have we been missing all this time in modern society? Well, they use thyme herb for whooping cough. Let's look at the thyme herb. The ancient herbalists would use thyme in conjunction with some other immune-boosting herbs for whooping cough, because thyme has this antiseptic-like quality, and it's very effective germicide against the whooping cough bacterium. So thyme will kill the whooping cough bacteria while making it easier for the child to breathe and without any antispasmodic actions. So, you know, kids get that, you know, convulsive coughing going on, thyme will stop that. And you used to give the thyme especially before bed so children could get some rest. So if you're trying to fight an infection, you have to have rest. So herbalists have used thyme for hundreds of years for respiratory ailments, even stomach and bowel problems, and even uterine issues. Now, one of the thyme's added benefits is that it is a soothing to the nerves and has that sedative action so you can stop coughing. So children suffer from whooping cough. If they give them thyme, they can breathe easier and get some sleep. And there's like 60 varieties of thyme herb, and you want the Thymus vulgaris variety, and it is grown and cultivated in the United States. And so the secret has been well hidden from you, but it has also been right under your noses. So thyme was the basis of the world-famous Listerine antiseptic mouthwash, because young children usually prefer thyme tea, so you can use immune-boosting herbs like echinacea with it, and you can put it in a little bit of a tea. And now, if you're using tea, you can add some honey as a sweetener. So you can use a little bit of honey for that. So herbal teas are really not going to be as potent as, let's say, the tinctures or extracts by volume. So the child would need to drink a lot more tea. And if a child's got that convulsive coughing going on, it could be a challenge to get them started drinking the tea. So therefore, a lot of parents like the thyme tincture because it's more potent and less volume that the child has to consume. So usually a child would take a half to a full teaspoon of the tincture, and you could take it with your echinacea herbs as well, or astragalus. And you can use some apple cider vinegar. The Bragg apple cider vinegar is very good at cutting any of that phlegm, the whooping cough. Now, infants, you're probably asking about infants, wouldn't that be different? Different for infants, definitely, if you're, you know, comparing that to a toddler. So infants, you know, you're going to have to use smaller doses and use an eyedropper, or what they usually use, lacticianists will tell you to get a special nursing syringe. In other words, it's a syringe that has a curve to it, and it's plastic. It's not really a needle, and you can drop the tincture into the baby's mouth by their cheek, inside their cheek, and they would naturally swallow it. So you can kind of infuse it that way for infants, and it's easy to do that. Also, the vinegar helps cut phlegm, and you certainly can give an infant some of the vinegar, and it cuts that phlegm very well. I've actually got that feedback from a nurse who was treating a grandchild who got a whooping cough after they were vaccinated. Okay, so thyme, you can look at thyme tincture and tea. They're both available at thepowerherbs.com. But it's just one of those herbal golden nuggets that, you know, and lost in time, like, you know, the secrets to how the Egyptians built the pyramids kind of thing. But I don't know if you guys have been up on the YouTube. There was this guy who figured out the how the Egyptians built the pyramids, and what they did is they learned how to make explosives, and they were actually taking granite and powdering it, and then making it the granite into a type of cement, and they just formed and molded all those statues and all those blocks. And when that hardens, it's almost impossible to tell that type of granite from original granite. So that's why everybody thinks they carved everything, but they didn't. Nope, they didn't. Check it out. It's up on YouTube. All right, we're going to talk about some more secrets of staying healthy here, because we're going to take a look at some of these healthy secrets, especially when you come around to flu season, you're going to want to know some of this stuff, because some statistics I came across is 2 million Americans will pick up illnesses when they visit their doctor's office. So medical doctors tend to wash their hands in between patients, but not their stethoscopes. And you might have wondered why doctors never seem to get sick. Well, does your doctor write himself a prescription for drugs to stay healthy? Well, the answer is most commonly no. You may not only be really a surprise that, doctors are concerned about the side effects and pharmaceutical errors just like patients are. Now, one survey, over half the pharmacists admitted that they filled the wrong prescriptions because they couldn't read the doctor's handwriting. Doctors know this. Also, your doctor knows this all too well and will tend to use enzyme nutrition in foods and phytochemicals and herbs for them to stay healthy, but they're just not telling you. Actually, I get calls from them, they kind of lower their voice if they're ordering from work. Yeah, they do. All right, so here's some doctor secrets. So your medical doctor that you pay a lot of money to go see really could have his own protocol for staying healthy. First, they'll use foods instead of prescription drugs. They wash their hands a lot to cut down on the transmission of germs to the face and also to their digestive system. They also use a lot of folk medicine like herbs and homeopathic formulas. Even though they may be scientifically unproven to work, they're still going to use them. So your medical doctor may not admit this to you, that he uses diet and exercise and herbs to keep from catching infections and to keep from needing things like cholesterol and blood pressure drugs and to keep from getting arthritis and Alzheimer's and even cancer. You may also be saying that your conventional medical doctor, who is carefully monitoring your test results while you take dangerous drugs, would not use alternative remedies. You would think that. And you would say, he's not deliberately keeping any secrets from me. Oh, yes, he would. He is keeping a secret, and he's also keeping it from his colleagues and the office employees and any former spouses or risk of sanctions from his medical board. Mm-hmm. So that's right. Your doctor could be using forbidden cures the medical establishment disapproves of. Oh, yeah. Well, what's their herb of choice then, Miss Wendy? If the medical doctors are using herbs, what is it that they use? Well, what kind of herbs might your medical doctor tap into? And in case he's sick and doesn't want to miss work, well, they're going to use herbs like astragalus root. Now, originally, astragalus was cultivated in China, but it's now grown in the United States and cultivated here. So why are doctors using it? Well, dozens of studies have shown that it helps the body's own natural immunity work better than everyone else's by utilizing the herb's high concentration of zinc. So astragalus root gives anyone who uses it an advantage, especially during the flu season. So if you layer the astragalus root with, let's say, dandelion root, with its dynamic action to kill cancer cells, all kinds of cancer cells, well, you have the immune system helping out. So, is your doctor lining up for mammograms and x-ray tests for cancer? I'd say no. No, they're getting themselves tattooed or they're wearing medallions that they don't want that treatment. They don't even want to be coded and brought back to life should they have a heart attack and die. The other herb doctors are saying the same thing, doctors are using herbs. And the root is usually to prevent illness, immune system support from your echinaceas and your astragalus roots. So doctors are aware of all that folk stuff. They may say pish posh when you go see them, but on the other side of their office door is a bottle in their desk. All right, so here's a quote from Robin Chunkton, MD. She says, I take yoga and massage as my medicine. Herb tea also does wonders for me. Mm-hmm. That's right. So anyone that has pain from time to time, what do doctors say about pain? Well, they say go take some Tylenol or some aspirin or ibuprofen. Well, you know, then you may get bleeding ulcers and an immune system suppression and kidney and liver dysfunction because those drugs hurt those organs, and then you're on drugs for that. So the doctors stay clear of all that stuff because they've already read all those test studies that come back and how these drugs tend to tear down organ function. They typically do two things. They will ground their static electricity to normalize their electrical flow. Yeah, doctors do this. They'll take off their shoes and socks and go walk in the grass at lunchtime, right? They ground in their electrical flow. You know, it's not healthy to be wearing sneakers and shoes and being on high rises all the time. You got to get in touch with nature. So the human body needs that. So rub your feet in the grass, take a walk on the beach, and for inflammation and pain, willow bark and meadowsweet, great herbs to use. Now you got to remember now, when you're using God's medicine, it's chemically balanced to work, to not harm the organs, and prescription drugs are toxic and work against that. They work against nutrition, and this is where you get the side effects. Because it's a patent product. A lot of times it's a synthetic product. It's not even natural. So why are you putting something not natural in that body of yours? I don't know. All right, we've got a few minutes. Just a few. We're going to talk a little bit about liver disease. CDC says that there's over 100,000 hospital admissions for chronic liver disease. I bet you some of it's from taking Tylenol products. 31,000 deaths a year. So for every 100,000 people, 3 are going to die from sick livers. But according to the American Liver Foundation, there are like 30 million Americans, that's 1 in 10 people, that are living with liver disease. So we're going to talk about liver disease and how you can protect yourself. The usual liver disease, though, is the hepatitis variety, hepatitis C, fatty liver, liver cancer, cirrhosis of the liver, or hepatitis B, those kinds of things. So we really need to get to the point where we want to protect our livers and have prevention. So we want to prevent a lot of these liver problems, make sure that, you know, your lifestyle is healthy, you avoid overuse of alcohol especially. Now, hand sanitation is important to avoid aerosol sprays, avoid sharing personal care products and items like toothbrushes, nail clippers, and razors. Intimacy is great, but you want to exercise some caution because you can pick up a lot of hepatitis that way. Now, prescribed drugs can also give you a fatty liver and liver tumors. There's a lot of information on detailed drugs that are harmful to your liver. You can go to HepCNet, HEPCNet.net, and look under their drugs that deliver liver damage, and you can avoid some of those drugs. Well, let's look at some of the drug-induced hepatitis. If you want to read the warning literature on your prescription drugs, do so. For more detailed research online, you can also check out drugs that are recommended to you. And many of you may be taking even birth control pills or heart medicines like statin drugs or tetracycline drugs, and then you may end up with inflamed livers. So liver disease can often be the side effect of a drug treatment. So the pharmaceutical manufacturer may tell you to notify your doctor if you experience abdominal pain, dark urine, diarrhea, fatigue, fever, headaches, jaundice, loss of appetite, nausea, or vomiting, a rash, or even white-colored stools. That's scary, white-colored stools. That means the liver's in distress when you see that. So in other words, if you're experiencing a liver damage, you could end up with hepatitis A, B, C, or D, and you can also run the risk of being needlessly exposed to poor hygiene at the hospital or nursing home or wherever you are and get something else while you're there. So a word about pain relief, though. A lot of these typical pain relief products have adverse effects on the liver. So if you, like, have chronic knee pain, elbow pain, shoulder pain, neck pain, you see these ads where these people, you know, like the guy that's the delivery truck guy, he takes his one-a-day pain reliever every day so he can get through his day. But how long is that liver going to hold out? That's the question. You need to check into these things. So Tylenol, Advil, Motrin IV, Aleve, extra strength aspirins put your liver at risk. You could develop hepatitis from them. Keep that in mind. Other drugs that put your liver at risk are antibiotics. They can also give you hepatitis of the liver. Anything with amoxicillin in it or Augmentin, you should run like hell from. Also, heart drugs like Lipitor, Mevacor, Provacol, Zocor, Lescol, Crestor all have the potential of giving you hepatitis of the liver. Long-term drug therapy does put your liver at risk. Just keep that in mind. You're not supposed to be on these things for the rest of your life. But drug manufacturers don't want you to know that. And, of course, your medical doctor is really you're managing your disease. That's what MD means. And they're going to push those drugs. They're a licensed drug pusher. And as I often say, tongue-in-cheek, 007 is not the only one with a license to kill. Herbs used unwisely. Well, some herbs that are intended for short-term use and which should not be taken like pharmaceutical products for long-term, you want to watch the use of Cassara Sagrada, Chaparral, Comfrey, Cava, Mistletoe, Gerrymander, and Ephedra. So you want to, you know, be educated about your herbs as well. Short burst, not long-term saturation, okay? So supplements, you know, you shouldn't have to be on these either for the rest of your life. Don't look at supplements as, you know, here again, you've got the one a day by all these drug companies that make supplements now, wanting you to take it every day. You're not supposed to be taking supplements every day. You're supposed to be getting a really good, healthy lifestyle going. And then sometimes you may need a little help from supplements, but you shouldn't have to take them all the time. So there are a number of vaccines that could also damage the liver, especially your influenza vaccines can give you hepatitis as well as your hepatitis B vaccine. Common culprits for liver damage right there. Studies, several animal studies on nutrients, on how the liver reacts to them. So you want to, interesting, chlorella contains high magnesium, and chlorella makes it inexpensive a nutrient to help your liver to detox itself. So if you've got a fatty liver, chlorella, get some of that. Also some wonderful liver herbs, milk thistles, the top of my list. It has some antioxidants in it, helps the liver break down protein synthesis easier and replace old cells with healthy new ones. So the liver is supposed to regenerate itself. So tap into that milk thistle and help it out. Some other herbs that you might want to, you know, anything with high magnesium helps the liver out, is an anti-inflammatory. Those herbs like willow bark and meadowsweet. So definitely check into that. If you have any questions about liver herbs, check out thepowerherbs.com or give them a call, 866-229-3663. I'm out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, be well.